depends on what you.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. For those of you that are visiting with us this morning, our minister, Brother Jordan, is down in Searcy, Arkansas. The elders have encouraged him to go to the lectureship and to receive some training. He's been with us for about 9 months, and it doesn't seem like that much time has passed, but it has. So he's off this week and receiving some education, and his wife is also going and attending some classes also. So while he's away, I get to fill his shoes this morning. So this morning I wanted to first talk a little bit about where I'm from. Some of you know that I'm from the state of California. I spent the first 30 years of my life, and if you were to take the state of California and you were to cut it in half right down the middle from top to bottom, and then go about midway and cut it in half again, about 90 miles to the east of San Francisco here is the area that I lived in, which is the San Joaquin Valley, the heart of the San Joaquin Valley. And the history of the San Joaquin Valley, before really any kind of development happened and anything like that, what used to happen is the snowpack from the Sierra Nevadas would melt during the spring, and typically during the late spring, early summer, the valley would be flooded with about a foot of water. And all the topsoil that would come from the Sierras would come down into the valley, which made it a very fertile and rich area. And it truly is the land of milk and honey from the standpoint of the United States. If there's anything that can be grown in California because of the climate. And there's only certain things that will grow in the state of California, in the United States. There's certain types of grapes that will only grow there. But it is truly a breadbasket. And I remember going, I had an uncle that was a barber, and he had about 10 acres of land that he grew pistachio nuts on. And every Monday, he would go to the sale. He would go to the sale, and you could walk through this place and literally just all kinds of produce that you could buy, fresh from farms. And I remember this as a little child. Well, to transition, Jesus talked about produce. He used produce a lot of times and agriculture in his lessons. And this morning, let me put my glasses on so I'm hitting the right button here. So this morning I want us to talk about the I am statements of Jesus. And I want us to turn to John the 15th chapter, and we're going to look at this thing where Jesus talks about I am the vine. Jesus uses the grapevine as an analogy here for him and our relationship with him. And I will tell you this morning that everyone here, in some way, shape, or form, you can see yourself in this story and in this analogy that Jesus gives. Those of you that haven't been baptized, you're in this story. Those of us that have been baptized, we're in this story. And he talks about our relationship with him. So let's pick up and let's look at the scripture this morning, and let's read the first 10 verses in the book of John 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, as we read this and look at this, I want to ask a question here. What I want to ask is, what is the command that Jesus gives in these first 10 verses? He gives us a command. And the command is not bear fruit. Okay? Bearing fruit is a result of abiding, and we're talking about that. But the command is, let me go back, is to, in John 15:4, is to abide in me. That is our command. That is what he commands us to do, is to abide in him. Okay? So what does it mean to abide? Okay? We'll look at a couple of definitions here of what Webster says to abide. Boy, this thing is fast. It just does not work. Okay, so the first definition here is to remain stable or fixed in a state. Okay? A love that abides all the days of our life. Okay? If we've been married 30, 25, 40 years, 50, sometimes 60 years, we understand abiding with someone. We understand a love that abides together. Okay, Tim understands the love that Carlene has for him as she has abided by him going through his illness and dealing with cancer. Okay, we understand that. Okay, and Jesus talks about that. Okay, it's to continue in a place, to sojourn. Okay, Genesis 5:25, Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. He sojourned with God. He lived his life daily walking with God. Okay? To abide. So let's look a little bit further here. So to abide means to, is first, it's a union with our Lord. To be united. Okay? Paul gives an example over and over about a marriage. That Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is his bride. And we are united together. Okay? You know, you can't, and what God has put together, let no man separate. Okay? We are united with Christ if we are abiding in Christ. Okay? Secondly, a union with Christ means being obedient to him. Okay? You remember verse 10, what he said here in our reading? He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So that's what abiding looks like. Okay? Now, how does one get there? Okay? How does one get there to abide in Christ? Well, if we look in the Book of Acts, in the second chapter, we see Peter on the day of Pentecost get up and he's telling the people about Jesus and they're asking him, what shall we do to be saved? And he tells them, repent and be baptized. Okay? And we read further in the scripture and it said that the Lord added those that were being saved. Acts 2:47. Okay? And furthermore, in the book of Galatians, when we're baptized, we put on Christ in baptism. So in other words, for us to abide in Christ, we have to be obedient to him and obey to form that union. And our baptism is no different than a marriage ceremony. Okay? And Peter talks about this. It's not the washing away of the filth of the flesh. It's an answer of a good conscience towards God. And it's being obedient to him. That is how we get into Christ. That is how we become able to abide in him. Okay? If you haven't done that, you're not abiding in Christ. And I'm sorry if you're offended by me saying that. But that's what the scripture teaches, okay? If we're not in Christ, and we haven't put him on in baptism, we're not abiding in Christ. All right, let's go on. What are the results of abiding in him? Well, pretty simple. We produce fruit. Okay? We're commanded. That's one of the things that God expects of us. That is an expectation. Okay? It's pretty clear when you go to work for somebody and they tell you, I expect you to do A, B, C, and D. If you don't do those things, then something happens. Typically, it's discipline. Okay? Well, why would we think it any different with God? Most of everything that we do in life, our laws, management, you can see examples of it in the Bible. And that's where man has found it. Okay? But God expects us to produce fruit. So the question is, what kind of fruit? What kind of fruit are we to produce? Well, lots of people will say, well, we're to produce other Christians. Well, yes, we are to do that. Okay? But in this instance, I believe there's another example of what we're supposed to do. And that example is found in the book of Isaiah. Okay? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 5. I'm going to wait till y'all get there. Isaiah chapter 5 in the Old Testament. And in this example, God plants a vineyard. And he gives this example for the nation of Israel and how they were living and what they were doing. And listen to what he says here. Listen to what Isaiah says. Now let me sing of my well-beloved, a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. He's talking about God here. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst. He also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its walls, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no more on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. Now notice what it says here, what he looked for. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry for help. So when God uses this analogy of a vineyard here that he planted, he tells them, you know, I looked for good grapes, but you produced sour, you produced wild. And really what he was looking for justice and righteousness. Okay? Now what about us? When Jesus gives this analogy of the vine, what about us? What kind of fruit should we be bearing? Okay? Well, we're told the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay? Now I want you to look at those, because Peter talks about this in the second book, chapter 1, verse 5. And notice what he says. He says, giving all diligence. Now, when you think about that, when you say giving all diligence, it's not just a ho-hum, I'll do it if I want it, it's a hobby, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. No, giving all diligence. We put our heart into it. We put our mind into it. We try. We give an effort. In your faith, supply virtue, and in your virtue, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, patience, and in your patience, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Now, let me ask you a question here. When you look at this list, and you see it, I ask this question, I taught this lesson about, 6-8 weeks ago on Wednesday night. We talked about this when we were going through this book of 2 Peter. And I asked this question. How many of y'all have got full self-control? When something happens to you, you've got control. You don't go off in a rage of anger. You don't look to get back. You're patient with people. You're kind. You're driving on the highway. Somebody cuts you off. You get upset. Or somebody says something to you and you get angry and you want to strike back. Okay? God tells us that we need to be under self-control. When you look at the life of Jesus and you look at him, especially when he was going through the crucifixion, was he under control? Was he under control at all times? Do you see him worrying and fretting? Do you see? He did get angry. But he was always under control. You know? And then the final thing, in your belly kindness, add love. You know, one of the things that for me, and then I'm going to tell you all, this lesson is really for Randy, big time. There's a lot of this stuff up here that I am working on still. And as we talk further, I'll tell you more, you know, there's things that I'm looking at, okay? Even as an elder of the church, I am still trying to grow. I'm still trying to build these characteristics into my life. But brothers and sisters, we need to be working on this stuff. Okay? I don't know how many of you know Benjamin Franklin, but one of the things about Franklin, during his later life, he was not a very spiritual man, although he did believe in God. But one of the things that Franklin did have is that he had 11 characteristics that he had written down. And every month, Franklin would focus on one of those characteristics about being kind to people, listening, being patient. And every month he would practice those characteristics. And as he grew in age, he was one of the most sought out individuals for a conversation. And part of it was is just his ability to focus on what he needed to do. Okay? There's one more thing. 2 Peter 3:18, it tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm going to put a word in here for what Brother Bob has said twice. You know, if all we're doing is coming to church one time a week and that's all the knowledge we're getting, that ain't very much. That's like watering the vineyard or watering the garden once a week. Okay? Are you spending time in God's Word? Are you looking at it? Think about it. You know, when we ask you to come to Bible class, that's an opportunity for you to get some more knowledge. If you don't like the Bible classes, tell the elders. Come and let us know. Come and let us know what you'd like to study. But we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay? And I make this last statement. As we grow, all the characteristics of Christ should be manifested in our lives. That's what God wants to see. He wants to see us. He wants to see the characteristics of Christ displayed in our lives. Okay? And if we're not doing that, we need to take a hard look, because of what we're going to study here in a minute. Okay, let's go on. To abide, one more time here, finally. We're called as part of the abiding process to submit to the pruning of God, by which He cuts away at those things in our life and our behavior that keep us from continuing to grow and produce more fruit in Christ. Okay? If you notice, when we read the first verse of John chapter 15, He said, I'm the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Okay? God's the one that's tending things. He's looking at the vine. He's pruning it. Okay? Now, some of you in here understand pruning. You understand why the need to prune. Okay? But let's look at this. Let's look at what it says here. Sometimes you prune to cut off what is dead or diseased, so the rest of the plant will survive. Okay? If one limb, one part of a tree gets diseased, or one part of a plant, or a grapevine gets diseased, and you don't take that off, it's going to impact the rest of the plant. It's going to kill it. The whole plant will get diseased. So one thing for pruning is it's cutting off what's dead or diseased. And God tells us in the scripture that we read, if we're not producing fruit, He's going to remove it. Okay? Secondly, is to mold and shape us into the image of Christ. Now, I've got some pictures here of topiary gardens. Okay? So we even do this today. We mold it and shape it into something. We'll mold and shape plants into some kind of image. Okay? And we do that. And God will do that with us. Okay? Now, I want you to think back in the Old Testament and look at the Old Testament when Jacob left his family. He went to live with his father-in-law, Laban, and he changed his wages 7 times. Okay? Now, if you remember, Jacob had tricked his brother to giving him his birthright by selling him a bowl of soup. Okay? So what did God do? God gave him a person that tricked him 7 times to deal with it. And then if you look at Joseph, how God pruned his life, took him away from his father, put him in prison, put him in as a servant, but then He made him prime minister. He prepared him. He molded him and He shaped him. Okay? And God will do the same thing to us. Some of you already know this, because God has dealt with you. God has dealt with me. He's changed some behavior in my life. And God will do that. He will prune us. Okay? And the last reason God does that is so we might produce more fruit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, that by their fruits you will know them. Okay? In our Christian life, it's not always about doing better. You know, you talk to people and they'll say, well, I need to do better. I just need to do better. That's not always what it is. Sometimes we need to focus on eliminating things and behavior from our lives that hold us back in our walk. Okay? And that's not just Randy saying that. Listen to what this says here in Hebrews 12 chapter, verse 1. Okay? The Hebrew writer has just gone through all these men of faith, all these people of faith, and have talked about the people of faith in the 11th chapter. And now in the 12th chapter, he says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, all these faithful people, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let's prune it away from us. Let's do away with it. Let us run the race with endurance that is set before us. Okay? So, Sometimes we need to look at what needs to be pruned out of our lives. Okay? It's not just about what we need to do better, but sometimes we need to look at what kind of behavior or things that we're doing that we need to change. Okay, this is the last point, a couple of last points I want to make here. And these are the warnings. This is the warning in the discussion that Jesus gave about not abiding. He says in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And then the other warning is not fruit bearing. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, God the Father, takes away. So that's our warning this morning. You know, it's not just enough to believe. We need to abide in Christ. We need to walk with him. We need to be bearing fruit. We need to be looking at our lives. Is our lives in compliance with Christ? Do we reflect that? So I want to ask you two questions this morning. Are you abiding in Christ? And as a believer, are you abiding in Christ and producing fruit? Remember, this is Jesus talking here. This is not Randy. Randy's just giving you a little bit more of an overview of this. Okay? Remember, Jesus said, I am the vine. And he said, for without me, well, we can't go back to it. But what he says he makes the comment, without me, you can do nothing. And from a spiritual standpoint, we can't do anything without Christ. Christ is our Redeemer. He's the only way to the Father. And this morning, I just ask you to think about that and ponder that. Ponder that this week. You know, look at your life. Look at how you're living and take a moment and reflect. And think about God's word, what it does and what it says to us. You know? I hope you've been encouraged by this. You know, if I've stepped on your toes, you know, I'm sorry if I stepped on your toes, but brothers and sisters, this is Jesus talking and him telling us, giving us an example of our relationship with him. How's your relationship with him? If you have any need, please come now as we stand and sing.